Bet this football season with MyBookie. Use promo code Gators and get a free $20 wager with your first deposit. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie.
Gators Breakdown. Because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
The Gators Breakdown podcast is ready to go. I'm your host, David Waters, and you can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. And look, I mean, Gators got some good news on the recruiting front, so you know we got to cover recruiting just a bit. I don't cover it too much during the season because football, you know, usually the game itself, the game on the field usually takes over in the fall, but, you know, recruiting never stops, and when that news hits, we'll dive even more into recruiting. So here we go. Corey Bender from Gators Territory on the Rivals Network will join me here on this episode of Gators Breakdown as we talk about the big commitment of Jeremiah Scooby-Williams, of course. And look, there might be more commitments on the way in very soon as well. So we'll get into all that, all recruiting talk here with Corey Bender. And we'll get his thoughts also as, you know, the roster, how it's been built the last couple years to recruiting, and maybe looking forward a bit as well into that 2022 class and a big time commit maybe on the way soon for the Gators. But before we get there, remember, you can find Gators Breakdown on news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown. There you'll find all the Gators Breakdown episodes, as well as News4Jax coverage of the Gators. Please share, rate, and review the show on YouTube. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. It really helps us out here on Gators Breakdown. Or if you just want the audio version, check us out on your favorite podcast platform. And follow Gators Breakdown on social media. We're on Twitter and Facebook at Gators Breakdown. And don't forget, you can also get your Gators Breakdown merchandise at ebay.com/str/GatorsBreakdown. That's ebay.com/str/GatorsBreakdown for your new look Gators Breakdown merchandise. A lot of good options there. Men's, women's, orange, blue, whatever color you want. Got the new traditions there. Of course, that shirt, you can see it on the YouTube version as well. Or you can head to ebay.com/str/GatorsBreakdown to check out all the Gators Breakdown merchandise there and support Gators Breakdown if you want to in that fashion. And joining me now here on Gators Breakdown is Corey Bender from Gators Territory on the Rivals Network. Corey, first of all, man, congrats on the birth of your baby boy. And I hope baby, mama, and you are doing well.
No, we are, man. Thank you so much for having me on, Dave. And we're just adjusting. We're in the hospital all last week. We got home on Sunday, and about 48 hours in now with the baby at home. So, no, everything's going good. Couldn't be more happier where I am right now in life. And everything's just clicking well. Like I said, the baby boy is doing well. His name's Aiden. And, man, just plugging along, learning on the fly, trying to be a good dad like you, man.
it takes work, man. So
yeah, right. No, it's been it's like I said, we're all learning on the fly. First kid, and no, it's been amazing, man. Like I said, it's a surreal experience, man. Like, first time hearing him cry, and now coming home with the, you know, the home we bought for him and the room we got ready for him. It's just kind of, I'm just happy for him that he has a good place to stay, and we couldn't be more happier. So I appreciate you asking about that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's a fun adventure. I'll give it that. It is fun. Yep. Hey, just like the moniker of the podcast, there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation. There's never a dull moment in being a parent either.
Yep, absolutely, man. You can
have it.
Yep.
All right, let's get into some recruiting talk here, Corey. And heck, we got to start with news: the big commitment of linebacker Jeremiah Williams from the state of Alabama. You know, Florida long had been in the mix. It was thought to be an Auburn Florida battle for a while. Maybe a couple times he should have committed to Florida before he did. But look, yep. I mean, we got close to the decision. Florida was the pick. Where does he fit? Is he a pure linebacker at the next level? Is he that outside linebacker, defensive end? Where do you see him fitting?
His frame kind of reminds me of Diabate somehow as far as his size and build. It's funny, you watch him on film, he's very fluid. He changes direction well. He accelerates well. Just a really good athlete. And like you said, there's options with him. I think, obviously, if he continues to add weight and fill out his frame, which I think he can, he definitely has room to add weight. I think he will be that natural type buck position, staying up on the edge. I feel like that's where he's most effective, but I think he could definitely play that traditional linebacker position as far as operating in space, you know, turning his hips and running a little bit, changing direction. He definitely has athletic traits to do that. I think a lot of it's going to depend on how he fills out. And obviously, having Nick Savage on campus, I mean, you can have a better strength and conditioning coach to really kind of reach his potential physically. As of right now, it's funny. I like him more as a traditional linebacker. I know a lot of other people like him standing up at buck. But if I had to pick between the two, I like him more in space, man. I really like his ability to change direction. just kind of operating space, especially if the quarterback's scrambling, gets out of the pocket. The way he can backpedal and covers and kind of break off his back foot and come forward, he accelerates so well. And he's, like I said before, he's fluid. So I think right now I like him as a traditional linebacker, outside linebacker, I should say. But definitely considering, you know, his age and how much he's going to fill out, I think Buck is probably a good bet as well. But like you said, it's a good problem to have, right? I mean, you have a kid that can play multiple key positions in Florida's defense. But like, I think it's going to depend on how he fills out. And, you know, I right now I like him as a traditional outside linebacker more.
I'm glad you said that. I brought that up in the previous episode that we recorded on Monday, right, the day of his commitment. And look, we're Florida, and we see him struggling in that position right now. You see Amari Burney not necessarily at the outside linebacker spot, not being able to get it done. You know, James Houston fills in there a bit as well. So, you know, after seeing the struggles of what we thought was another versatile player with Amari Burney, now, you know, it's like can we get Williams in there who can, you know, fill that role, much like you're saying, fill that role better?
No, absolutely. And I think we talked about this before. Florida has a lot of versatile guys in the defense. Like you said, Mari Burney, who is a wide receiver safety come out of high school, but we kind of knew with his frame, he's kind of probably going to grow into a linebacker. And like you said, probably, he hasn't really reached his full potential, I feel like, at linebacker. I know he's been moved around the defense, but with Jeremiah, I think, like you said, you watch his traits compared to Burney coming out of high school. Jeremiah just has, I love his burst and fluid, how fluid he is. And I think with him, he can definitely slide in fairly early as long as he learns to play and kind of gets everything. I mean, it's always a story. You can have the most talented kid in the world come to campus. It's all about digesting that playbook and kind of learning the ins and outs of SEC football. And that's, it's a matter, regardless of how talented you are, it's always a learning process. So, I believe with him, I think it's going to be, he's a guy who can definitely kind of step in fairly early. I don't know if he'll make a huge impact as a true freshman, but a guy they definitely can rely on as far as here and there, especially in passing downs. Or I mean, he's one of those guys, too. You see the before and after pictures, guys that enroll early, and then you see him in June, 5 months later. Some of these kids look completely different under Nick Saban. So either way, they have options with him, and he's more of a traditional guy where I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of uncertainty surrounding his positional fit. I think Florida definitely has a good player with him.
And let's keep the that position going a little bit. Let's keep it at linebacker and two more linebackers that look to be making decisions soon. Xavier Sori, Smell Mondon. Gators are in the mix here along with Alabama and Georgia. Getting Williams, you know, certainly helps Florida right now. But could it hurt them with one of these, with these other linebackers? And you know, it seems like UF is in serious consideration for Sori. So, you know, that's probably the one to watch out the most here out of these two. But getting Williams at linebacker, how does that affect maybe one of these two guys?
I definitely softens the blow as far as if you don't get Sori. I think with Sori, which makes it so interesting, because everyone knows how hard Florida's been recruiting him since his freshman year. Florida, I mean, Coach Sal was the one to offer him, and I think it was his first offer during his freshman year. Florida's his mother's favorite school, and he's been to campus over a handful of times. So it's always somewhat of a stinger when you miss out on kids, especially when the race is this close. But I think, obviously, adding Jeremiah Williams, they're two different type of players as far as their positional fit, in my opinion, on defense. But it definitely softens the blow, considering just where people thought Florida stood with Williams, like, about a month ago. I think once the pandemic hit and when he nearly committed Florida the first time, people thought, okay, he was probably going to stay home in Auburn. And I thought that, too, for a while, just considering he couldn't get back out to campuses and stuff. But I don't think it affects them as far as numbers-wise, but it definitely softens the blow a little bit if they miss out on Sori. And in regards to Sori, too, it's going to be interesting. A lot of the buzz last week, before I went on leave, a lot of it's been Georgia. I know he actually got off the Florida's campus over the past week, too, to kind of get back there familiar, just kind of get Florida back in his mind a little bit. Based off everything I've been hearing over the last week, I know Georgia's been fairly confident there. And I know there's been Georgia commits over the past couple weeks, too, that have been kind of putting the word out there that they think they're going to get him. And I know he visited Georgia, too, during the pandemic. That was one of the lone schools before he got out to Florida last week. As far as one of the schools he actually got out to, and that played a big, that was a huge role. Like I said, I mean, a lot of these kids, whatever's the most fresh in their mind as far as the visit, that usually plays a big role, especially when it comes down to crunch time. It's so hard to predict with him, man, because right now my pick is Georgia. Many all along thought it was Alabama and Florida in the close battle, with Florida just coming up short and Alabama getting the lead there. but now that he's got back to Florida, I mean, it's made it way more interesting than it was a week ago. And I know a lot of the buzz, national buzz, is Georgia right now. And the same for Smell Mondon, I think. Like I said, we'll touch on him after. But I don't think, like I said, with Sori, it's hard to give a concrete prediction with him right now. He keeps things close to vest. And Christian Robinson has done such an outstanding job recruiting him, too. That relationship is very strong. Just like it was with Jeremiah Williams, the same with Smell Mondon. Christian Robinson is the lead recruiter for all three of those guys. And it just echoes the show, like, how good of a recruiter Robinson is. But I think right now with Story, I'm still leaning slightly to Georgia. But like I said, that's not my final prediction. I'm just based off everything I heard from the national side and sources up in Athens, too. Georgia feels pretty good about him right now. But, you know, you got to kind of makes you think twice now that he's been back up to Gainesville. So, like I said, I don't think anyone has a clear cut idea of where he's going to go right now, but whoever he does choose, it's going to be extremely close battle to the finish line. And one of these schools, their heart's going to be broken, unfortunately. You know, that's how recruiting is. So, yeah, right now, slightly, I have Georgia, you know, over Florida for exceeding that story, but that's not my final prediction.
And look, it's long been thought when you discuss Sory, you also have to bring up safety Terrion Arnold, as there's been talk, you know, that they'd like to play together. If Sory ends up anywhere but Florida, how much does that hurt the Gators' chances for Arnold?
You know, what's funny? I think it definitely makes Arnold think a little bit, but Arnold's very thorough with his recruitment. Like, you can tell, like, he's in no hurry. He's going to take us to the finish line as far as signing day. Right now, that's my pick for Arnold is Florida. And like I said, we have 3-4 months left to go with this. But a lot of the national buzz right now is with Florida as far as Terrion Arnold. I know all of the staff is really prioritizing. I mean, I know most of the schools that are in his top group are offering the opportunity to play basketball as well. I don't think Sory going somewhere else would be a game, like, it would completely diminish whatever school's chances that would be. But you definitely, I mean, they definitely want to play together, and that's key. But I think as far as would it hurt Florida's chances if Sory went elsewhere, I don't believe so. I think, like I said, I think Arnold, he's a certain guy he would like to play with, but he's a very thorough kid. He does his research, and I think he understands it's more than just having a buddy to go to school with. I think he, obviously, the relationships with Florida are very strong. He's told me many times he sees an opportunity to hit the field very early up in Gainesville. Just a lot of familiarity there, you know, especially with Florida State having a down year. Any other year, so you said this 5-6 years ago, and you're like, can never rule out FSU with a Tallahassee kid. But having them struggle, I think, was even more key and helps Florida that much over the long haul. But no, I don't think it's going to affect it too much, man. I really don't. I think Arnold, he's just very thorough with his recruitment. He knows what he wants in the school. And I think right now, I mean, Florida has to feel very confident about him. I think Florida's sitting in a great spot.
Sounds good there. Sounds good there. And pretty much, I mean, I'm sure it won't take long here. You kind of already mentioned it, but Smell Munden, pretty much a lot to Georgia at this point.
At this point, yeah, man. I mean, he visited, I think it was last time he was in Campbell, I think it was, last season, the very beginning of the season, last time he was in Gainesville. And just in Georgia, they've held up on him to campus, oh, man, a countless amount of times. It's an in-state school, and the biggest word with him when I think of that is just familiarity. There's so much familiarity between him and Athens, and I think for many months now, people have penciled in Georgia, and that momentum's only grown in recent months. So, yeah, I've been Christian Robinson, like I said, like he loves Christian Robinson. He always raves about him, but I don't think that relationship will be enough to put Florida over the top, especially since he hasn't been to campus in basically a year now. I mean, that always hurts a kid's chances as far as ending up at your favorite school when you haven't been there in so long. Obviously, the pandemic didn't help with that, so – yeah, I think proximity and the familiarity factor with Georgia is going to win out for them, you know, as far as with him. So, yeah, I think many UF fans should definitely not get their hopes up with Smell Munden. He's a talented player. He has nothing but positive things to say about Florida. And there's a long time, too, where Florida, we do a ranking contenders piece at Rivals, and Chad Simmons, who's more dialed in than any national analyst that I can think of, he's always put Florida as that number two school based off the relationship with Christian Robinson. But I don't think it will be enough. Georgia is definitely the strong prediction right now for him.
All right, and then if we keep going here, and of course, you know, I got to make sure we get the pronunciation right. Of course, every time here, Tomise Adeleye, Florida, Texas A&M, Alabama, previously committed to Ohio State, and you know we're now decommitted from there. And Florida was thought to be the pick there, but we don't know when he's going to make the decision. You know, between these three schools, but it does definitely seem to be a 3-horse race now for Tomise.
Yeah, absolutely. And before he committed to Ohio State, Tomise always used to say Florida was a school recruiting me the hardest. Like he told me every staff member from support staff to all the positional coaches were really recruiting him hard. Obviously, you got David Turner, Dan Mullen, then you have Coach Cooper, obviously, in the support staff. All those guys have really constructed really great relationships with him. And also the other part, he has family all across the state of Florida, and he always calls the state of Florida his second home. You know, Kamar Wilkinson, obviously, he reclassified. He's up in Gainesville already, but he was a big factor the first time around as far as where Florida was standing. And right now, I mean, he's another one as far as kind of a story where he keeps things close to vest and kind of keeps people guessing, because I could see Alabama being the pick. He always says, like, I think he said, in fact, he says basically sometimes it's dumb not to pick Alabama because all the tradition, how they pump out NFL players. And then you have Texas A&M where he's like, hey, that's the home state. I mean, there's something about putting it on for the home state. And, you know, with Jimbo Fisher and them, there's always a buzz down there. Like I said, it's just a great place to play, big, great college town. And then you have Florida that checks off so many boxes as well. He's another kid where it's so hard to kind of put a concrete prediction on him. I know many people I've talked to in recent months, I should say more recent weeks, have kind of said, hey, if I had to give a rough prediction, Florida would be my pick. But he can roll. He can say, hey, I'm committing next week, and either school would not surprise me whatsoever. But as far as Florida, there's a lot of familiarity there. I mean, his outstanding relationship with the coaches. I believe that was the last visit he took right before the pandemic. I think that's, I don't know if he's been on the road recently, but I think that was the last campus visit he took, unless he went to A&M for that Florida game. But either way, like, Florida checks off a lot of boxes, and the relationships are the main things that really come to mind. David Turns does an outstanding job recruiting him. Having family all across the state of Florida really helps. You know, Kamar's in his ear. There's a lot of things that Florida offers him. He's definitely very appealing. But same, like I said, with Story, it's very tough at this point to kind of get a concrete prediction. What I think the important thing with him is he still wants to get out on the road, regardless of the dead period. He wants to get back on these campuses and kind of take his own little tours. And that's kind of key with that. And so I think if he gets back to Florida, that's going to be a huge factor, in my opinion, as far as his final decision. And I think, I know Florida obviously hopes he comes back to campus and does his own little tour as well. But yeah, it's a tough one to really predict. But Florida checks off so many boxes here, and there's definitely a lot of confidence up in Gainesville as far as getting his signature when it's all said and done.
Sounds good here. And then, of course, one place you can't have too many highly rated players in depth is along the offensive line. And the Gators are training for North Carolina offensive lineman Yusuf McGarble. Looks to be committing on November 7th. I think that was the date I saw. And his name's been around recruiting for the Gators a little bit now. But the Gators are picking up steam here as the team to beat.
Yeah, so even back all the way back in the spring, he took a virtual visit back in the spring. He's been talking to Coach Hevesy day in and day out. That relationship is very, very strong. And he's a versatile kid, man. I think overall, I know some people see him as a right tackle. Some people see him as a pure guard. We all know what Coach Hevesy loves. He loves guys that can kind of interchange, go play multiple positions. And that's exactly what Yusuf can do. He can play right tackle. I think long term, probably his best fits inside. But yeah, that relationship's really strong. Florida's trending there. And our national recruiting director, Mike Farrell, he recently told me, too, that he believes, many sources have told him, it's close to a done deal with that one, that Florida's definitely really trending there. He's basically watched all the games, basically all of Florida's games this year. He came away very impressed. And as far as, like you said, Florida's recruiting class has been interesting as far as along the offensive line, as far as the guys they took early and who some of the guys they've offered late. But one source told me many months ago, and it was Yusuf and Diego Pounce of North Carolina. They said, Florida was going to get either one of those kids. I was back in May, and I was like, well, who knows? It's the pandemic. These kids have to get on campus first. I mean, that's a hard pull when they haven't visited, but here we are. Here we are basically going November, and Yusuf is trending for Florida. So as of right now, like I said, he's another one that really does interviews. I actually talked to him last night about 9 o'clock last night, but he was busy doing some stuff. He's supposed to call me back here today to kind of talk more about Florida, but going into this November announcement, Florida definitely feels good. That's what my prediction is as well. And like I said before, our national recruiting director, Mike Farrell, he's talked to many sources, and they believe it's a done deal as far as him just eventually picking the Gators. There's a lot of optimism up there for sure in Gainesville.
Good news for Gator fans right there. Corey, before we kind of move on to the next topic here, what are you hearing as far as numbers and how many Florida can fit in this class together? You know, not many spots left for this class right now. And then, kind of course, you know, transfers coming in and out of the program. If you had to put a number right now on how many Florida could sign in this class, where would you go with that?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard all the way up to 27 at times. I mean, it's just with this class, I think you have – it's going to be interesting, and it's kind of a sensitive subject to talk about times, is the whole eligibility. I mean, as far as guys being eligible and actually qualifying, I don't want to say certain names, but I know in the past, like, there's been certain guys in this class that are kind of, I mean, obviously long shot to qualify, but I mean, they're definitely going to have to put in work towards the home stretch. Right now we're seeing 25. I've heard 27 to 28. That's the number I've been hearing all along. And then obviously that number could be a little bit less depending on who gets in and not. Mm-hmm. Most of the class should get in. I'm not saying like there's concrete numbers, but all along there's been certain guys in class that have been kind of, hey, you have to keep an eye on these certain guys. But I've heard 27 to 28 all along. And then we all know the unfortunate part of recruiting too. I'm not saying anyone's going to get processed out of the class, but I'm sure if there was a big time kid that wanted in the class, I'm sure Florida would make it happen and kind of would have to make those numbers possible. But I would say right now they would have about two to three spots left. But like I said, that's a very rough number depending on who qualifies and who doesn't and stuff like that. But yeah, I would say 27 to 28.
Okay, Corey. You know, yeah, I've said for a long time, if there's a player you really out there, if there's a player out there you really, really want, numbers will always work themselves out.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
just the way it goes.
And then this is the year, too, though. That's the thing, though. This is the year where that could happen. And that's why you and I talked beforehand, the thing like Destin Hill, the receiver, who, Florida's showing more and more increased interest in. You have Yusuf that wants in the class. I mean, then you have Chimise. I mean, so Asori, and then you have Arnold. I mean, decisions are going to have to be made regarding those guys, right? Especially right now where the class sits. And like I said, 25 commits. This is just a rough number. I'm just making this number up. Say two guys don't qualify, then it puts you down to 23, and it gives you five spots. It just depends on if some of the process unfortunately don't qualify, or like you said, some get processed out, or like you said best. They make it happen, regardless of who's on the board. If there's a guy they really want, I know Florida staff, they'll make it happen. And like I said, recruiting's not always peaches and cream, man. I mean, there's unfortunate moments in recruiting. We all know that. And just know all the guys left on Florida's board, if Florida wants them and they want in, they'll make it happen. I think we all know that.
Before we go further, a quick word from our friends at MyBookie. Ever since I started Gators Breakdown, people have been asking me who's going to win and a lot of time what team they should bet on. Well, the best piece of advice is, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. It's why I always tell people to visit MyBookie. They've got deposit matches, free bets, and huge cash prizes for you to take advantage of all season long. NFL action, they have that. College football, they got that too. Plus, they have a mobile-friendly website and top-of-the-line customer service, making their platform a one-stop shop for all your betting needs. And the best part is, MyBookie has hooked us up with promo code GATORS, which gives you a free $20 wager to get some skin in on the game. It's low risk, high reward, which makes this offer a no-brainer. That's a $20 free bet to use on anything in the sportsbook, and it's completely on the house. You can't beat free, and you certainly cannot beat free money. Sign up at MyBookie today and use our promo code GATORS to claim your deposit bonus. Stacked UFC cards, presidential prop bets, and good times await. Sign up today to begin your winning season only at MyBookie. Corey Bender from Gators Territory joining us right here on Gators Breakdown. And Corey, now that we've seen this year's Florida team play and certainly see some of the issues there, let's go back and take a look at a recruit Florida's going to need to grow up fast next season. And with all the issues in the middle of the defensive line, Desmond Watson is a true nose tackle, and he'll have every opportunity to get on the field next season, given what we've seen from Florida this season and what they potentially lose after this season. So, after a couple of cycles of not getting commits to play defensive tackle, the Gators are in dire need there, and Watson looks like the perfect guy to fill that need.
He's that pure nose tackle, man. Put him more in the center. Let him wreak havoc in the A-gaps. Like you said, a lot of those guys aren't going to have the gaudy stat lines considering the position, the role they play. But I think with Watson, man, I've talked to a close source in the situation 3 months ago that they think in Florida's whole D-line class, this is before Leonard Taylor committed to Miami. They feel like when Leonard was really kind of trending towards Florida, they said when it's all said and done, don't be surprised if Watson's the best defensive lineman in that class. And honestly, I agree with that. Like right now at his size, he has to lose some weight, tighten up his frame a little bit, but same thing with Ethan White. I think a lot of that weight's going to come shred off fairly easy, especially with good nutrition and going working with Nick Savage. But I think he's one of the more underrated players in the country. I really do. He has freakish athleticism for a kid that size. He can bend, he can dip his shoulder. He's not just uses bull rush. He's not just pure power. There's times he uses a nice swim move. He has a nice rip move as well. He's one of the guys, man, personally, when it's all said and done, I think he can be a very, all SEC type player, man. I'm one of the ones that raves about him. I saw him at all the Rivals camps earlier this year. I don't think he lost one rep. And I went to 2-3 camps that I saw him live. I don't think he lost one rep as far as one-on-ones. And now you look at him now as far as with conditioning, and when you see the finished product, there's so much potential and upside there as far as what he can be over the long haul. So I think with him, I think you have Gervon Dexter, who really sticks out, who can obviously – he's already seen the field. We already know his ceiling as a player, but I think with Desmond, he's a different player, obviously, inside, but that gives him another young body in the middle of the defensive line who could definitely wreak havoc and do a lot of damage for Florida. And I think, like I said, I'm not going to get into the whole rankings thing, but I think overall, I think many people, if you really study his film or seen him live, it's understandable. It's definitely understandable why people are raving about him and why they think he can see the field fairly early.
And Corey, it was thought that Florida could be recruiting too many defensive backs this cycle, but with what we've seen so far this season on the back end of the defense, the Gators need all the help they can get back there too. So, you know, overall, you feel pretty good about Kyrie Elam, Jaden Hill, Chester Kimbrough, Travis Johnson as young players in the secondary moving forward with those guys. And now you have Kamara Wilcoxon who reclassified this year to play. And then you had Corey Collier, Jason Marshall, Donovan McMillan, Jordan Young, Dakota Mitchell. You know, this is after adding Mordecai McDaniel, Ethan Pouncey, Jahiri Rogers, Travis Johnson, and Avery Helm, Rashad Torrance, the last class. There's a lot of names there that you can just list off. Corey, man, that's a lot of numbers to throw in the back end and hoping you can find better safety play, as that's a position that just, you know, hasn't developed over the last 3 years, and that, you know, you can bounce back and get great play out of the cornerback position as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, I know you mentioned Jason Marshall too, but I just want to say, I think as far as a pure cover corner in this class, he's another one who I think we have Corey Collier ranked higher as a 5-star, and a lot of his more potential. I mean, obviously he's an outstanding player, but I'm actually very, very high on Jason Marshall, man. I think he's one of those pure cover corners who can come in. I think he'll play very early, I think, with Florida. Obviously, you have Jaden Hill, you have Chester, you have other guys in there too at corner. But he's one, I feel like, who could definitely see the field very early. And the numbers, like you said, I kind of looked at the numbers through the last two classes. It's like, man, it's a lot of bodies, man. I hope they're distributing the numbers properly. But like you said, there's some uncertainty, like you said, especially after this season, as far as which guys are really going to step up and become bona fide starters and really kind of be – really solidify themselves as pure starters. I think with Collier, I think he'll play next year, but I think he has some room to grow as far as physically before really seeing the field. And I also think, too, man, there's some guys in this class who I think – like Donovan McMillan, last time I heard, he was over like almost closer to 210 pounds. I think from what I've heard, that middle linebacker might be the best fit for him long term. He's a more physical kid. He's decent coverage, but he's at his best in coming up and run support, obviously filling the lanes. Very physical kid. I think with his frame of where he's at now, I think that's another guy that obviously we have him listed as a safety, but I think he'll be a linebacker long term. Dakota Mitchell, I think he fits that star position pretty well. Like Travis Johnson, I feel like Dakota fits that star position as well. He's a physical kid. He's good in coverage, but he's a very well-rounded player. So I think you have a lot of guys who are versatile, can fill a lot of spots. But I think as far as overall, when you look at the class, they definitely filled a lot of needs. And I think based off what we've seen this year, there's a lot of uncertainty based on what's going to be there next year. I mean, you know, Kyrie Elam's probably the most consistent starter in the secondary as far as future, as far as current play. But then obviously I know Marco struggled. Obviously he'll probably be coming back for another year. And then Jaden Hill is flash too. But like I said, I think right now when you look at the numbers, it's gaudy. Either way, even with guys switching positions, it's still a fairly big class, mm-hmm. fairly big class over the last two cycles. But I think you'll see some of those guys kind of transition to different roles with Donovan McMillan playing the thing. And I think Jordan Young, he's another one, man, where I think he's kind of – I know Florida's very high in him. I know he's one in the recruiting rankings. I mean, he's in our Rivals 250. A lot of people don't talk about him as much, but he's another one who I feel like he was like Travis Johnson last year, where he kind of got overlooked a little bit by some of the highly ranked kids. But I think he'll eventually people will realize that was a good find by Torian Gray and stuff like that. And I think Torian Gray should get a lot more credit, man. Like when Travis Johnson came to that camp last summer, people kind of rolled their eyes like, man, what offer him this kid? His offer sheet's not that good. Like then you see Clemson offer during the home stretch. And then Jordan Young was another one where people thought he wasn't a take. But then all of a sudden, you know, based off everything I heard, like Florida was in love with Jordan Young as far as what he brings to the table. And they took him with a heart in a heartbeat. So there's some options in the secondary. A lot of uncertainty, too. But as we all know, it's all going to work itself out. And, you know, Jahari Rogers is another one I've heard great stuff about up in Gainesville, too. So it's going to be interesting. I think the future defensive backfield is going to be the biggest, I'm not going to say question mark as far as talent, but as far as who steps in and fills pure starting roles. And going into next season, it's definitely going to be one of the bigger headlines.
All right, a couple more thoughts here from Corey before we let him go. And Corey, you've hit on it a couple times, and I talked about it on a recent episode as well. And I was asked if this defense needs to be rebuilt. And I had to think about that for on the fly for a second when I was asked that question. Look, it's it definitely needed to be rebuilt on the defensive interior, and you've seen the numbers reflect that in recent classes. But Corey, you know, overall, I fell back to the defense getting too many versatile pieces. You know, originally, I thought it was a great idea to get a lot, you know, get defensive backs that could play cornerback, nickel, and safety, or a player that can play outside linebacker, buck, and maybe even some defensive end, or a lineman that can play inside or out. But, you know, the more I look at it, that versatility hasn't necessarily shown up so far. You know, we identify guys playing in position that may not suit them as well as others. You know, some players, like we already talked about, Amari Burney, where we wonder where he fits at all, and Diabate play a linebacker when we see him better off the edge. And some of this is out of necessity because of, you know, players like Kyrie Campbell missing time and you having to shuffle the defensive front. But I think, you know, that hammers home the point that if you had some players that had true positions that you identified in recruiting, then maybe some of these issues that we're seeing could have been avoided. And I mean, just looking at it on the surface, you know, there seems to be way too many outside linebacker buck types, and they don't really have a true spot yet.
Yeah, another thing is, too, you'll talk to a lot of kids in recruiting about, especially they use to say the outside linebacker and bucks, and a lot of the kids will say, no, I'm getting recruited for buck. And I mean, I swear, man, I'll interview 6-7 kids who all say, no, I'm getting recruited for buck. And I'm like, well, in my head, I'm like, not everyone can line up at that one position. It's going to be a logjam. But yeah, and that's the thing, too, man. There are times in this defense, you look, I think Amari Burney and Diabate are the first two that come to mind for me. Diabate, it's funny, because I liked him way more as a pure buck. Mm-hmm. I just thought he was his quickness off the line. He was always one step ahead of any tackle he was going against last year. And I know he played limited snaps, but I know coming to Florida, that was one of the key reasons why he wanted to go to Florida, because I know they're going to give him the opportunity to rush the passer, where schools like Auburn and I believe Alabama, they like him as a traditional linebacker. And that was honestly one of the key reasons, from what I heard, is why he went to Florida. And then, like you said, you move a guy back to linebacker. And I think at the time when they did do that, I understood it, because you have Brenton Cox, you have Chris Bogle. You almost have to, you're going to have a big logjam at buck if you don't move some guys around. But now, like you said, it hasn't really translated to the field. As far as going into the season, I thought buck was the most loaded position, yeah, one of the most loaded positions on defense. I thought that was going to be one position we didn't really have to worry much about. But you kind of look at it from week one to now, the production hasn't been, it hasn't met expectations, put it that way. And I think with some of these guys moving around, it definitely doesn't help. And same with Bernie. He's played different positions almost every year since he's been on campus. And with a lot of these kids, when you're that young, and you're trying to learn the playbook and you're trying to learn your new role, you're hesitant out there. You're not playing to your full potential because you're thinking too much. And there's a lot of guys you can kind of see that out there. And I think another one's the star position. I mean, you have some kids that are pure corners coming out of high school, and I think we all know, okay, hey, he's probably going to be a safety at the next level. But it's good to be versatile, but at the same time, then you have guys thinking way too much. I like guys who've been playing the position for 5-6 years and say, I'm a true defensive end, and they know their go-to moves. They know what has worked for them in the past. And I think with Florida, they have kind of have a reputation for moving guys all around, which on the surface, it looks good. Like, hey, we have all these versatile players. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's translating to the field as far as what everyone thought it was going to be. And yeah, and I agree. Like a Jason Marshall, he's one of the guys who I love. Okay, he's a pure corner, in my opinion. He's not a safety. He's a guy like Corey Collier, he's a pure corner, pure safety. And like I said, there's certain guys like that where I think you're going to see that over the long haul, just at comfort level, because it's a position they've been playing their whole lives. But yeah, I agree. I think with Burney and Diabate, and then even with Marco, I mean, Marco's at star now. Mm-hmm. There's a certain guys, you even in defensive end and buck, you're certain guys that I think they even had one. I think Brenton Cox at defensive end, I like him standing up at buck more. Right? That's just me. I like, yeah. So there's a certain guys where if it was me, I'd be like, I would like him at this role more. And obviously, I'm not a coach, so you know what I mean, I'm not going to go down that road. Mm-hmm. But it's just certain those. I agree with you 100%. I think the versatility thing is kind of hurting them more than helping them at this point. Like you said, heading into their college careers, it looks good. Like, hey, if it doesn't work here, we can put this kid here. But it's just a lot of the changing positions and kids learning their new scheme as far as what their role is in the defense at a new position. You just have guys thinking way too much. And these aren't kids in the NFL. These are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. It's a process for anyone, and you're playing in the SEC. So I think, like you said, the versatility at times is hurting them more than helping them. And I think with this 2021 class, there's a little bit more certainty with some of the guys. I know I think in the second year, you're always going to have that issue depending on the kid's quick, his hips and his footwork as far as if he's going to be a pure corner. But there are a lot of guys in this class that really are solidify themselves as their true position. And I think obviously Jason Marshall's one that comes to mind. I think he'll be a guy that comes to campus and gets on the field fairly early, man. I think he checks off so many boxes, and hopefully they can start going trending in that direction again, because yeah, like, it's not really showing with Amari Burney, and I think Diabate should be at Bucs, especially now where the numbers are. I think he should kind of get more reps on the edge, so we'll see, man. I think it's definitely hurting them a little bit. I'm not going to say it's hurting them, but I definitely prefer it more the solidified positions rather than the versatility based off what the performances have looked like through the first few weeks.
Absolutely, absolutely. And last thought here, Corey. I mean, skip forward to 2022 and that class right quick, because we have to, because, you know, look, safety, Sam McCall going to make his commitment this week. Everything's pointing to Florida right now, 34th ranked player on Rivals. And look, this 2022 class is off to a good start for the Gators, and looks like it's going to continue this week.
Yeah, definitely. With Sam McCall, he's going to be another interesting one. So Rivals has him as the number two safety in the country for that class. But he's a bigger kid, man. He's another one going back to, like, as far as pure positions. But his is just more size where he's at. I think definitely, yeah, Florida is definitely trending very heavily with him. I'd be very shocked if he went elsewhere tomorrow. But going into that class, I know the commitment numbers haven't really shown in that class yet. It's been a pretty slow start as far as commitments, but you can go down the list as far as which guys are training to Florida. There's a lot of buzz with a lot of kids as far as where Florida sits. And I think before we know it, that class is going to start filling up, and you need that domino effect from a big kid like Sam McCall to really get someone's attention. His teammate Javonte McClendon, he's in contact with Florida every day as well. So after Sam McCall commits, it wouldn't surprise me to see McClendon join the class shortly thereafter. He hasn't really hinted at that yet, but usually in recruiting, it's always that first domino that really falls, and then after that, you start seeing guys join the class, and that momentum starts to really pick up. I talked to another kid this week, too. I talked to Mikel Williams. He's a defensive end out of Georgia. He was raving about Florida when I talked to him, and then Julian Armella, the number one offensive tackle in the country for 2022 class. I'll actually have a story on that tonight, but he's in contact with Florida four times a week, roughly. And he basically said his relationship with Dan Mullen and Hevesy is outstanding. They're really pushing the right buttons with him. Derek Wingo has been in his ear. Tyreek Sapp is a former teammate. There's going to be a lot of guys right now that have Florida near the very top of their list, but they're just not ready to pull the trigger yet. But I think now with Sam McCall, who, like I said before, I'd be very surprised if he didn't pick Florida tomorrow. He's the type of talent that really gets the attention of kids all across the map. And there's guys all, especially in Polk County's a talent-rich area. A lot of you have Gabe Dindy at Lakeland, who has Florida high on his list. It wouldn't surprise me to see that pick up that 2022 class. And I think by the end of the year, they should be probably sitting with a handful of commits. And then after that, you'll just see the dominoes start to fall. But like I said, it starts with a guy like Sam McCall. And I think Florida fans should be expecting some very good news tomorrow.
Great news. Great news there. Corey, man, thank you so much for taking time out from the new baby and being a new dad and all that stuff. And I can't thank you enough for joining us here on Gators Breakdown.
No. Thank you so much, as always, Dave. It's always a pleasure, man. And yeah, thanks again for all the wishes on the baby. And yeah, we'll definitely catch up here soon.
Big thanks to Corey there and all the recruiting knowledge that he brings. And look, the recruiting never stops, as I said at the beginning of this episode. So had to get him on here to discuss everything that's going on in recruiting. Like I said, good news to start the week for the Gators. And that news looks like it will continue for the Gators on the recruiting front throughout the week with the upcoming commitment of Sam McCall. So everybody, thanks for joining me on this episode of Gators Breakdown. I am your host, David Waters. You can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. Guys and girls out there, thanks for listening to this episode of Gators Breakdown.